So, yes, Adrienne is perfectly correct. It is Palm Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah. I keep saying Psalm Sunday, but it is Palm Sunday. let's pray. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just thank you again. What we've heard already this morning, how powerful you are.
Amen.
And yes, you will come again in power once again. Amen. And Lord, as believers, we look forward to that day. But until that day, Lord, we want to be your hands and feet,
yeah.
Your mouths, your ears, your eyes, so as we can share what we know to other people who don't know, because you love them, because you died on the cross for the world,
Amen.
And not just for the chosen few.
Amen.
So, Lord, your power in your word this morning, I just pray that as I speak it out, it changes us again to be more like Jesus. Because you love us and you want the best for us. And it's not easy with a world that's after us all the time. But Lord, we know that you've conquered sin and death and you stand victorious in us and through us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start with John 12. And it is the usual Palm Sunday reading. But it's a good to remind us of exactly what's going on here. Starting chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the large crowd had come to feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of the palm trees and went to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand this first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered what these things had been written about him and what had done to him. The crowd had been there with him when they called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continuing to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they heard what he had done with this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." So yes, we see a crowd of people all gathering round to see Jesus come into Jerusalem. This triumphal entry, they call it. But you know, these people just didn't pick up a load of palm trees and start wazzing them round their heads as thinking, "This should be good to see." Or load of cloaks on the floor just so the donkeys don't get their feet dirty. These things are significant signs of Jesus coming. And actually, through history of Israel, when you look through the Old Testament, these were significant parts of their praise and worship. Because in the Bible, the palm tree is actually mentioned at least 30 times throughout Israel's history in the Old Testament. So these things were significant to Jesus' mission statement, to what he came to do for us. Obviously, throughout the Old Testament, we can see these 30 things, but if you look at all 30, we're probably here for the next 7 days. So I've just picked out a few to give, dare I say, a taste of what really is going on here, because there is so much to dig into. We could make a complete series out of this if we're not careful, and we should do maybe one day. In Exodus 15:27, mentions the palm trees in Elim. Now, Elim stands for God's bountiful provision. It's a place of rest, refreshment, and restoration after their trials, actually, in the wilderness. When we look at Leviticus 23:40, this is the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, I have to be careful because we have the expert here on feasts. It's called the Sukkot, is that correct? And this lasted, would you believe, 7 days. It's a feast where the first day they took the fruits, the palm fronds, the leafy branches and poplars. And these are items actually represented the beauty of the promised land. And they rejoiced in the Lord for the whole of those 7 days. And these four items actually represented the beauty of the promised land, as I said, but also God's provision. It was a celebration of remembrance of God's protection in the wilderness and gratitude for a harvest that's coming in, all in joyful worship. The branches there were bundled together and waved up and down. They symbolized God's omnipresence. In other words, his constant presence with his people, just like he is today. In Deuteronomy 34:3, we come across Jericho. Jericho was actually known as the city of palms. Why? Because it was so rich with resources. It symbolized divine provision again and an abundance that comes from the Lord. Psalm 92. Palm trees here were well known for their long life. They had the ability to stand firm. They had the ability to be resilient even in the fiercest storm. Why? Because they were so well rooted, able to bear fruit even in the most challenging circumstances that they faced. Just as a sideline here, it takes a palm tree 30 years to bear fruit. It takes 30 years for someone to become a high priest. Park that one for a minute. 1 Kings 6:29. We now see Solomon has built a temple. And in those carved objects in all the walls, amongst those carvings are, guess what? Palm trees. Both inner and outer rooms. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes God's dwelling amongst his people. The palm trees themselves symbolize victory, peace, prosperity, righteousness. It's a reflection of God's triumph of God's kingdom over the earth. And finally, Ezekiel 41 prophesies over the temple, emphasizing it's been restored in the presence of his people. And once again, in these carvings, we find palm trees. And they alternate between cherubim. And the palm trees actually represent life. Cherubim represents divine life of holiness. And finally, we have to mention the cloaks as they lay before Jesus. Now, these cloaks were called tallits. They were the shawls. They were seamless. I can't lift my arm high, very afraid. They were seamless squares with four tassels on them. And they reminded them of God's commandments. In Hebrew, were written on these shawls, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Laying them down before Jesus acknowledged him as the worthy Messiah. And practically, even the palm trees themselves had many uses. It provided shelter for people. It provided food for his people. It provided materials for everyday living. You see, in John 12, we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Jews use these palm trees as a sign of freedom. They welcomed Jesus as the Messiah. Why? Because they'd heard about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. See, this triumphal entry into Jerusalem wasn't more just a celebration. Or the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy of Jesus entering Jerusalem into a donkey. This demonstrated what Jesus came to do and who he was. He is the one who provides. He is the one that brings divine provision and abundant riches to his people. He is the one who brings true rest, refreshment, restoration, when we all face these trials. He is the one who brings life. Life in abundance. He is the one who brings true rest, true refreshment. He is the one who brings protection. He is the one who brings in the harvest. He is the one who's omnipresent on this world today. and he is with us in all circumstances. He is the one who stands firm and unmoved by winds of circumstance, because he's rooted in his Father, so as to bear fruit after the age of 30, when he became a high priest. Divine life of holiness as Jesus begins his ministry. He is the one who comes to restore his presence on earth and dwell amongst his people, bring peace beyond all understanding, and a victory that triumphs over all earthly kingdoms. He is the one who's come to fulfill God's commandments, declaring himself as Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings, and the one true Messiah. Amen. And finally, he has demonstrated over Lazarus, he has the ultimate power to bring freedom over the bondage of sin and death. Because in 7 days' time, he will claim victory on the cross over all these symbols that we've just talked about this morning. All those palm tree represents in the Old Testament, he will declare victory over for you and for me. But you know, this is not the final chapter. Revelation 9, verse 9 says this. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out to the Lord in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels are standing around the throne, around with the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces to the throne and worshipped God. This triumphal entry into Jerusalem is not the final chapter. This is where we point to hope of a future with him. Because when he comes back, that's what we will be doing. We will join in with the angels, dressed in white robes, praising the God that has come to save us now, so we can be with him in heaven. We will be together as a true community, as one body, as one church, waving palm branches, united in declaring salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings, the one true Messiah. See, Jesus' triumphal entry in John 10 not only fulfills Old Testament scripture, it points to a hope of a secure future for every believer. Because the cross is not the end, but it is the beginning. Yeah. See, Jesus doesn't bring the resurrection. He is the resurrection that brings hope and a secure future for everybody who declares him as Lord and Lord, Kings and Kings, and the true Messiah. But until that day, we need to trust in faith and obedience that he alone brings true rest and restoration when we face all these trials that the enemy and the world want to throw at us. We need to daily celebrate his protection over us in praise and worship. Even if we don't feel it or see it, we need to joyfully praise his name. To recognize his omnipresence is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And in every circumstance that brings peace, knowing that victory is his over all things. And don't let the world and the devil tell you any different, because it's a lie. He wants us to welcome him into our lives, just like those cloaks as they laid their lives down in joyful worship. Why do they do it? So we can live again. We lay it down so we can live. We lay it down so we can live. And it's a response of who he is and what he came to do. See, when we do this, we become well-rooted in him, giving us the ability to stand firm, resilient in whatever circumstances come our way. We can cultivate our lives as a temple of the Holy Spirit, bearing fruit as we gather in a harvest. Called now to a divine resurrected life now. A life with the holiness of our high priest. So let's celebrate these next 7 days. I brought these palm branches with me because you know me, I like a visual aid. Yeah. So if you want to take one and pass it around and take it home as a visual reminder of what we're actually celebrating here, that Jesus claimed victory for us.
Thank you, Roger.
He exchanged our sin and our ways for his. So when God looks at us, he doesn't look at you and me, he looks at Jesus. That's why he went to the cross for you and me. Let us be safe in the knowledge that we celebrate the one true Messiah, as they did in the Feast of the Tabernacle, as he conquered both sin and death for our sake, so we too can be in that beauty of the promised land when he returns and proclaims who he is and what he came to do. We can celebrate that he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the one true Messiah. Blessed is he who comes for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Praise God.